from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. The President wants unlimited regulations for fintech innovation. ASEAN heads of states meet in Bali. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo was present as a speaker at the Bali Fintech Agenda Thursday in Nusa Dua, Bali. In his direction, the President invited all parties to provide flexibility for technological innovation by not giving too binding regulations. In addition, he said governments around the world must also provide protection to inventors to develop technologies that will benefit both economically and scientifically. According to him, the technological innovation requires flexible space to conduct various experiments. Strict regulations, according to him, will only hinder innovations and encourage people to act against these regulations and enter unregulated domains. Insert dalam bahasa Inggris. Furthermore, in his direction at Bali Fintech Agenda, President Joko Widodo also acknowledged that the Indonesian government is still trying to socialize the reality of technological developments in the world today. Bali Fintech Agenda is a series of meetings held at the 2018 IMFWB meeting in Bali. This agenda addresses opportunities and challenges for technology that have the potential to change the economic and financial landscape. Attending the Bali Fintech Agenda, World Bank Group President Jim Yong Kim, IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde, a number of working cabinet ministers and ambassadors of friendly countries. The World Bank launched the Human Capital Index on the sidelines of the series of activities of the IMF World Bank annual meeting in Nusa Dua, Bali. Related to this, Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati Thursday in Bali expressed Indonesia's readiness to become the first country to adopt the project. According to Sri Mulyani, Indonesia needs input from all countries in the world in human development efforts in the country. Sri Mulyani hopes that the Human Capital Project launched by the World Bank can provide an effective picture of the formation of policies and financing design for the Indonesian government to be adopted by other countries in the future.
For this Human Capital Summit, Indonesia has volunteered to become one of the early adopters. This is because we recognize that human capital is very, very important. This is important not only for Indonesia, but also the world. I do hope that this human capital project is going to really create a forceful movement as well as effective improvement in the policy, program, and design for many countries. Because every year we pass, it's going to be a year wasted for younger generation that they deserve to have a better life today and in the future. And that can only be get if we are very serious and effective in delivering human capital investment to the...
For this Human Capital Summit, Indonesia is... Sri Mulyani further stated that human development efforts should be focused on the financing and education sectors. Both of these sectors, according to her, play an important role so that the target of human capital can be achieved as expected. She also highlighted the importance of human capital in a country. According to her, human capital is the key to reduce poverty and eliminate inequality. In addition, according to Sri Mulyani, in the international arena, human capital is a key factor driving the economy in the world. The global economy continues to grow firmly, however, the growth is unequal across region and people. There are some risks emerge, such as risk to economic stability and prosperity, risk to the principle and institution that underpin international cooperation, which deliberate so many benefits to so many people, to so many years. It was stated by IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde in her speech in the IMF World Bank Annual Meeting Plenary Session in Nusa Dua, Bali on Friday, October the 12th. She said that Indonesian President Joko Widodo has recently reminded that it is the cooperation that brings back the world from the brink of global financial crisis. Christine Lagarde also said that the world is facing the challenge of the economic landscape. She characterized it in two dimensions. The first dimension is quite familiar to many others, including monetary, fiscal, and financial layers of economic interaction. The second dimension is more challenging, comprises inequality, technology, and sustainability. Therefore, in tackling the problems, she urged to combine domestic policies and people-centered and international cooperation. This news comes to you over RRO Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The International Monetary Fund, IMF, stated that world economic growth of 3.7% is not strong enough to face all challenges. This was stated by IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde during a press conference at the Nusantara Room Westin Hotel, Nusa Dua, Bali on Thursday, October the 11th, on the sidelines of the IMF and World Bank annual meetings. She noted there are several challenges facing the world. One of them is trade war, especially between the U.S. and China.
We had insightful discussions under the theme Achieving Sustainable Development Goals and Overcoming Development Gaps through Regional and Global Collaborative Actions. We also reaffirmed our strong commitment to multilateralism and international cooperation. ASEAN remains steadfast in upholding the open and rules-based multilateral trading system, which has underpinned the region's economic growth over the past decade.
According to Lagarde, in recent years, excessive inequality generated by technology, trade, integration, and capital work policies has increased the economic and social tensions, especially in developed economies. Therefore, Lagarde stressed that the world needs policies and reforms that not only encourage growth but also must be inclusive and sustainable. She stressed that the world needs international cooperation. The Palestinian government provides humanitarian assistance to the Indonesian government for victims of the earthquake and tsunami in the cities of Palu and Donggala, Central Sulawesi. The 21-truck assistance consists of food, drinks, electricity-generating equipment, and baby needs, the Palestinian ambassador to Indonesia, Zuhair Al-Shun, in a press release at the Palestinian embassy office in Jakarta on Thursday, October the 11th, said that the aid from the Palestinian people and nation is a form of brotherhood between the two countries. On the same occasion, the Director General of the Palestinian International Cooperation Agency, or PICA, Imad Al-Zuhairi, said the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas gave direct instructions to the agency to provide assistance to areas affected by the earthquake and tsunami. Initially, we received direct instructions from President Mahmoud Abbas to immediately move to provide assistance to the areas affected by the earthquake and tsunami. Based on information received from the Indonesian government, the location is still isolated and it is impossible for us to reach it. So it hampers our movement. So we carry out the second plan, which is to give the assistance here in Jakarta only. Imad Al-Zuhairi added that the Palestinian government would continue to provide assistance to the Indonesian government not only during the disaster, but also during post-disaster recovery. And the last item, in commemorating the World Goals Day, which fell on October 11, 2018, the Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs gives an opportunity for a student from Lembata, East Nusa Tenggara Province, Maria Lenggari, or OSIN, to have experience and opportunities to become the Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs for one day. This is part of the Plan International Indonesia Foundation YPII program, which collaborates with several ministries, including the Ministry of Maritime Affairs, to choose Indonesian daughters to sit as ministers for one day. At a press conference held in Jakarta on Thursday, October the 11th, Secretary of Maritime Affairs Ministry Agus Purwoto explained that Coordinating Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan fully supported the activity. So it is not the program of the Ministry of Maritime Affairs. This is one of the destinations to be here, and we appreciate the permission of Mr. Luhut because he also wants to introduce to all Indonesians that since Indonesia's Independence Day, this is the first time Indonesia has coordinating ministry for maritime affairs. This is what he wants to broadcast. Maria Lenggari Orosin is one of 12 girls who has been selected to participate in the one-day minister program. This activity has been carried out for the third time in Indonesia and was participated in by more than 300 participants from all over Indonesia. And listener to Andy News, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President wants unlimited regulations for fintech innovation. ASEAN heads of states meet in Bali. And listener, that's the news. Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is You Want Devaluation. The United States of America feels inconvenient to see the value of yuan fall. U.S. Treasury Secretary Stephen Mnuchin in Nusa Dua, Bali on Wednesday warned China not to devalue its yuan. The U.S. wants this monetary mode is discussed in the U.S.-China trade agenda. In fact, that China devalued its yuan is not done for the first time when the U.S. has imposed tariffs on China's products. Several years earlier, China also devalued its yuan against the U.S. dollar. In August 2015, this action was carried out by China in a bid to boost the performance of China's exports, which experienced a decline. A weaker yuan makes the competitive export products made in China be able to compete in the global market. When this was carried out, Trump has not been in power in the U.S. and has not yet begun trade war between U.S. and China. As a result, yuan's devaluation at the time make the blue funds worth $8 trillion U.S. dollars withdrawn from the stock exchange throughout the world. Last April, U.S. President Donald Trump accused Russia and China devaluing their currencies when the U.S. raised interest rates. Since January 2017, Trump has served as a U.S. president. The U.S. dollar value actually has dropped against yuan, reaching more than 8%. Why does the United States object to the devaluation of the yuan, ruble, and other foreign currencies? The answer is if the value of foreign currency is low, the products are more competitive. High interest rates in the U.S. make the dollar value rise and make U.S. products more expensive. In addition, if yuan is evaluated, the application of high tariffs carried out by President Trump towards China products will be in vain. This is due to the high price of China's products because of the U.S. tariff. It drops as the value of low yuan makes the tariffs decrease. In addition to the yuan or ruble, whose value may be deliberately lowered, Indonesia does not reduce the value of its money. But Indonesia's need for dollars is high because of the debt, payment needs, and imported products. Consequently, this causes the U.S. dollar value has risen significantly so far. Actually, this makes the value of Indonesian product is more competitive. The question is that whether we will take the opportunity to devalue the rupiah to boost revenue, though there is an economic slowdown due to the U.S.-China trade war. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History. Presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. This is Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History. Well, listener, we begin from the information on 5th of October 1945. At the time, the People's Security Agency was changed into the People's Security Army, which was the pioneer of the Indonesian military, or TNI. The People's Security Agency was the first armed forces established after Indonesia obtained its independence. The establishment of the People's Security Agency was implemented at the summit of the Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence on 22nd of August 1945, announced by First President Sukarno on 23rd of August 1945. The members of the People's Security Agency were Indonesian youth, who previously received military education as the soldiers of Ehio, defenders of the homeland, Royal Netherlands East Indies Army, KNIL, and others. Aruji Kartawinata was appointed as the commander of the People's Security Agency through the presidential decree on 5th of October 1945. The People's Security Agency was changed into the People's Security Army. The name of the armed forces changed several times before becoming the Indonesian Military, or TNI. The second information is that West Sulawesi officially became one of the provinces in Indonesia with Mamuju as its capital. West Sulawesi was separated from South Sulawesi. The province was established on 5th of October 2004 based on Act No. 6/2004. West Sulawesi is rich of tourism objects. Besides cocoa, the region is also known as the producer of Robusta and Arabic coffee, coconut, as well as cloth. In addition, the province has abundant mining resources such as coal, and petroleum. Music. And the last information is about the World Teachers' Day on 5th of October. The World Teachers' Day has been commemorated every October the 5th since 1994. The end of celebrating the event is to give support for teachers all over the world and convince them that the sustainability of future generations depends on them. According to UNESCO, the World Teachers' Day represents care, understanding, and appreciation a big to support the vital roles of teachers by sharing knowledge and building generations. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia, through Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia. For the topic today, we take Indonesian in Indonesian program with the title "I Met Assassin: Indonesia Economy Still Strong." International Monetary Fund IMF called Indonesian economic growth relatively good amid the heat of trade tensions and the global economic slowdown. The IMF estimates that Indonesia's economy will still grow above 5% this year. The latest IMF World Economic Outlook report projects global economic growth this year stagnates at 3.7%. The IMF also revised the 2019 global economic projection from 3.9% to 3.7%. Meanwhile, Indonesian economy in 2018 is predicted to grow 5.1%, or lower than the IMF projection in April 2018, which was 5.3%. IMF chief economist Maurice Osfeld at the press conference at the IMF annual meeting World Bank in Nusa Dua, Bali on Tuesday said that Indonesia's economic growth projections were revised as the global economy declined. Because Indonesia will be affected by tightening monetary policy in the world, oil prices, and trade wars. Even so, he saw Indonesia's economic growth is still quite strong. Based on the World Economic Outlook report, Indonesia, which groups the IMF into ASEAN 5, has the third highest economic growth. The ASEAN 5 countries in question are Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, and the Philippines. Indonesia's economic growth rate is higher than Malaysia and Thailand until 2019. Ospel also said the MN also views Indonesia to be able to maintain a consistent growth rate. He said the Indonesian economy can grow higher if it is able to take advantage of all the potential it possesses. Indonesia has population growth. Indonesia will get a lot of tax revenue. According to Ospel, the government's seriousness in building infrastructure is considered to be a lure of investor to invest in Indonesia. He also emphasized that Indonesian economy is still strong because the rupiah exchange rate against the currencies of trading partner countries other than the United States had depreciated by only about 4% since the beginning of the year. The depreciation against US dollar reaches 10%. In addition, the inflation rate is considered to be maintained amid the weakening exchange rate. Previously, Managing Director of the International Monetary Fund, Christine Lagarde, said that Indonesia's economy has been managed so well that the IMF does not feel the need to provide loans to Indonesia. The same confirmation was made by Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani at the press conference in Nusa Dua, Bali on Monday. According to her, Indonesia will not borrow money to the IMF because the loans are only given to countries that are experiencing a balance of payment crisis. According to Minister Sri Mulyani, the government has already anticipated measures in facing global risks, including running a mixed policy between Bank Indonesia and the Ministry of Finance. She believes that Bank Indonesia's response to US interest rate increases is able to maintain market interest in investing in Indonesia. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo was present as a speaker at the Bali FinTech Agenda Thursday in Nusa Dua, Bali. In his direction, the president invited all parties to provide flexibility for technological innovation by not giving too binding regulations. In addition, he said governments around the world must also provide protection to investors to develop technologies that will benefit both economically and scientifically. The World Bank launched the Human Capital Index on the sidelines of a series of activities of the IMF World Bank annual meeting in Nusa Dua, Bali. Related to this, Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati on Thursday in Bali expressed Indonesia's readiness to become the first country to adopt the project. According to Sri Mulyani, Indonesia needs input from all countries in the world in human development efforts in the country. The global economy continues to grow firmly, however, the growth is unequal across region and people. There are some risks emerge, such as risk to economic stability and prosperity, risk to the principal institutions that underpin international cooperation, which deliberate so many benefits to so many people to so many years. It was stated by IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde in her speech in the IMF World Bank Annual Meeting Plenary Session in Nusa Dua, Bali on Friday, October the 12th. The International Monetary Fund IMF stated that world economic growth of 3.7% is not strong enough to face all challenges. This was stated by IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde during a press conference at the Nusantara Room Westin Hotel Nusa Dua, Bali on Thursday, October the 11th, on the sidelines of the IMF and World Bank annual meetings. She noted there are several challenges facing the world. One of them is trade war, especially between the United States, US and China. The Palestinian government provides humanitarian assistance to the Indonesian government for victims of the earthquake and tsunami in the cities of Palu and Donggala, Central Sulawesi. The 21-truck assistance consists of food, drinks, electricity generating equipment, and baby needs. And the last item, in commemorating the World Girls' Day, which fell on October 11, 2018, the Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs gives opportunity for a student from Lembata, East Nusa Tenggara, Maria Lenggari, or OSIN, to have experience and opportunities to become the Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs for one day. And listener, that's News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in Indonesia Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you about Tari Likurai. So stay tuned with us into RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Listeners, 5th of October 2018, Minister of Tourism Arief Yahya attended and opened Festival Wonderful Indonesia at Pasir Putih Beach, Kenabibi Village, Kakuluk Mesak Sub-District, Belu Regency, East Nusa Tenggara. At the opening of the festival, Minister Arief Yahya was welcomed with Likurai Dance, which is a dance coming from Belu Regency. This Indonesian Wonder invites you to know war dance from the Regency, which has direct border with Timor Leste. Listeners, Likurai comes from two syllables. Liku means mastering and Rai means land. So Likurai means mastering earth. The dance was firstly a dance which was performed to welcome heroes from the battlefield. Likurai dance was performed as welcoming dance. It was gratitude of the people who won and returned as heroes safely. Until now, Likurai dance is still preserved by Belu people, and it is often performed for traditional commemoration, welcoming important guests, art and culture performance. Listeners, Likurai dance is usually performed by many male dancers by using sword and women dancers by using tihar or small drum as an instrument of dancing. The number of dancers consists of 10 dancers or more and 2 male dancers. Female dancers are usually covered by long sarong that covers their body from chest to leg. Hair is usually rounded and using a typical Belu headband. Moreover, the dancer uses many accessories such as bracelet and special necklace and brings small drum used to dance, whereas the male dancers usually use long dress arm and uses sarong. At head part, the male dancer uses special bandage from Belu. To dance, the male dancers usually bring sword at the right hand and the cover at left hand. Well, listeners, in Likurai dance, the motion of men and women dancing is different. The motion of women dancing is dominated by hand motion, by playing drum fast, and leg motion jolt alternately. Besides, the dancer also dances by swinging left and right based on the music, whereas the motion of male dancer is dominated by hand motion by playing sword and the motion of legs jolt based on the music. Moreover, the male dancer also does motion, such as bowing and playing their sword at the performance. Likurai dance usually doesn't use any music. The musical sound used usually comes from small drum played by female dancers, and the sound giring-giring is set on the male dancer's legs. Besides, the sound of screaming on the special Likurai male dancer also makes the dancer merrier. Well, listeners, that's Indonesian Wonder for today's edition about Likurai dance. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Bye-bye!
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Miss Lenny. Today, we will present information about ITB student Tim wins bronze at Taiwan Innotech Expo 2018. So stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. A proud achievement was made by a team of students from Bandung Institute of Technology, ITB, at the Taiwan Innotech Expo 2018 event. The event took place at the Taiwan World Trade Center at the end of September. The student team consisted of 5 people from various departments. They are Eka Fabriana Trias Tiningsih, Geological Engineering, Irfan Ibrahim, Geodesy Engineering, Michael Simorangkir, Chemical Engineering, Reza Prama Arfiandi, Civil Engineering, and Yudi Kurniawan, Engineering Physics. The team won a bronze medal in the Communication Technology category through a prototype named NT-Obelia 107. Team leader Eka Fabriana Triastiningsih explains, NT-Obelia 107 is a subsea station design that serves as a first step to monitor Indonesia's underwater conditions. Indonesia is rich of underwater natural resources. Through the subsea station, the most up-to-date information on the number of natural resources can be obtained. The development of the tool began with the Student Creativity Program held by the Ministry of Technology Research and Higher Education. The design and working principle of NT-Obelia 107 is by adapting the morphology and working principle of one of the underwater living creatures, namely Obelia sp. While number 107 is the longitude coordinate of the location plans for the station to be implemented in Indonesia, namely in the Karimata Strait. The Karimata Strait has a strategic location, the outermost waters of Indonesia, and is in line with other countries. By monitoring from the station, it will simultaneously be able to monitor Indonesia's defense and security. As for the building structure, Eka Edit, the prototype has been categorized to be feasible implemented. This design can also be implemented in the deep sea and resistant to the physical conditions of the deep sea. The material planned in the implementation of this design is steel and concrete. The Taiwan Innotech Expo 2018 event was attended by many countries. From Indonesia, there are 6 participating universities. In addition to innovation competitions, there is also an exhibition of innovative product works. Eka hopes that students who have good ideas in creating innovative products can showcase their work by participating in competitions. In the future, because it is still a prototype, the NT-Obelia 107 tool will be developed again so that it can be marketed. That was Miss Lani for today with the topic ITB student team wins bronze at Taiwan Innotech Expo 2018. We will meet again with other interesting topic. Thank you for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to some songs from Riau and Riau Island. To initiate our segment, Music Corner, let's listen to Soleram, which is sung by The Lilot. Stay with us on RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which can be heard through live streaming at www.voinews.id. Listener, that was the first song entitled Soleram, sung by The Lilot. Soleram is a regional song from Riau which is full of advice. The song becomes bedtime song for children of Riau people. There is some advice contained in the song. Firstly, children must protect their honor. Secondly, if they meet new friends, old friends should not be forgotten. In addition, the song also gives and advises us not to forget the past. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Lancang Kuning, sung by Edi Silitonga. Enjoy the song.
Berlayar malam.
You have just listened to the second song entitled Lanchang Kuning. The song is popular among Rio people. Lanchang Kuning itself is the name of ship which is sailing at the night. Because sailing at night, if storm happens, the ship must have good skipper. Because Lanchang Kuning or ship along with its passengers depends on the skipper who controls the ship. Lanchang Kuning song gives advice that a leader must be able to conduct mandate and account responsibility given to him. If it is conducted well, certainly it becomes a blessing. If it is abused, it becomes catastrophe for him. Listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Ochu Maantau. Enjoy the song.
Sungai Kampau ma oi ayu nyo jonyo tompe manyosa jo manyangwo di situ badan moncai batu moncai kosyo o cuma antokano gongi ua. Cumaran tau kena koi gua, dayan tinggalkan anak jobini, mangaduno si kena koi gua, mangaduno si kena koi gua, hati onan mani ojo tinggal. Jala adio mara so chome doakan ocu cope pula doakan pulo selama di jalan. Kano koi uang, elok elok lah kau di rumah. Oh cuma rantau dia, kano koi uang, jantung lo kau lo pelo lo batandang. Panjang jambatan rantau barangi. Tompe evapora
landai angin adio di umadi ambio uang oh cuma rantau dia kena goi ungan elok elok lah kau di umat oh cuma rantau dia kena goi ungan jan pula kau lo pelo lo badanan.
Listener, you have just listened to the second song entitled Ochu Maantau by Rizal Ochu. The song, which was created by Halim Ma'arifat, tells about a real resident who is wandering. He leaves his wife and kids and hopes his family in good condition during his wandering. Listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Pantai Solop by Rusli Zainal. The song tells about a beautiful beach in Riau, which has white sand and clear water. The atmosphere of its nature is very fresh, and its residents are very friendly. Thank you for listening.
Solo perbilang kosong.
Voice of Indonesia. Today's sound.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.